It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And now there's a guy in studio that I kind of remember how he looked. You look a lot like Mike Ward.
Do I?
You have a resemblance to Mike Ward, who has been on assignment for all these weeks, but he is back with us now. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be back. And Not really, but...
lots to talk about on today's show. We're going to do kind of a roundup, obviously, talking about we're a couple weeks into season now, talk about that. We'll also talk about, we got a new head at Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. We'll talk about him, hopefully get him on the show soon.
Yeah.
And I guess it's about that time of year, that thing I do where end up kind of round up cellular game cameras, because that's what a lot of people ask for Christmas.
Yeah.
So we can just talk about those and bounce.
That's still
those.
A big deal. I mean,
it's a big deal which ones. And listen, I've said this before. I'm going to tell you what I use and how I use them. That doesn't mean there's not another.
Oh, there's plenty of.
Because my buddies call me too, and they'll say, "Well, you know, you're using a so and so. Does that mean that the other one is not good?" I said, "No,
no.
It just means I don't use that one, but it doesn't mean it's not good."
Right.
But there are some things I'll say, like different cameras are better for different kind of setups. But we'll get to that later on. All right, let's get an update. You've been in the Great Plains. You've been back out to Kansas.
Yeah. There again, I didn't get tagged.
You didn't get tagged.
Dylan did. And had a great hunt. I mean, he had a great hunt. He missed a deer of a lifetime. He didn't cut a hair on him. Missed him at 37 yards.
And it's bow hunting, for people who don't
bow
know.
Hunting, yeah. Yep. And this deer was with another deer. This deer is a perfect 12-point with about 8 or 10 kickers. He's a 190-plus. And he missed him at 37 yards. We think he had to shoot him out the backside of the tree.
And tell folks what you told me. You made makes sense. Y'all trim limbs in front.
In front, because that's where the feeder's at.
But you like to leave cover. I like to leave cover behind you. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, because there's an open field behind you.
Yes.
You know,
so it makes sense.
Open field behind me, so behind him. And but anyway, he had a perfect shot, he said. He said the deer stopped behind the limb. He couldn't see the butt, but he could see the front shoulder. He grunted at him. He stopped at a perfect place. And he had said all he could see was hair and the front shoulder when he pulled, when he released his arrow. And undoubtedly, he hit a twig, a limb, or something, and missed the deer. You know?
We've all been there. The problem for me is I've been there shooting a doe. or 100-inch 8-point. I hadn't been there on a, deer of a lifetime.
Listen, he's done something I've never done. I've never been in the woods and even seen a deer like that. I've never seen one.
Mike, you've killed some giants.
I've killed some big deer, up to close to 170. But I've never seen a
180,
190. Maybe this deer could be 200. And he got to see two bucks that they were together, a 12-point with three or four kickers on it, probably a 180-plus, and this one is a perfect 12-point with 10 or 12 kickers, got to be a 190 to a 200, and he got to see two of them.
Something.
At the same time. And
he's a young man. I'd have come apart and peed my pants probably. But.
And there's a deer at the feeder, it's a 150. And he didn't shoot the one at the feeder because he was waiting on the other two to come, or one of the others. So, I mean, I got to commend him. He passed up bigger deer than he's ever killed. He sent me some pictures because we got pictures of him on camera stuff, big 10-point right up under him is 145, and then this other one 150 or so at the feeder. So he passed up a lot of really nice deer, and he's only killed one deer with his bow and arrow. That was last year. That was the first time he even shot at a deer with his bow and arrow.
And I wish I didn't like him so much because I'd be PO'd at him.
Hey, look, we had a wonderful time out there. He got to see that deer again, but he was about 150 yards away. So at least he got to shoot at one, and he got to see two absolute monsters, and got to see that deer twice. So
was chasing going on still?
Oh yeah, Sean, it was wide open out there. I would let him out in the mornings, And then I'd have to wait about 45 minutes for it to get daylight a little bit, and I'd ride around.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man, I wish my eyes had videos in them where I could
– saw some
– yeah, I mean, I took – some. I got – I didn't even – me and you hadn't talked or nothing.
No, you've been on assignment. I've been here holding it
but
down.
But I've got a good video of a real fine one. I'll show it to you here in a few minutes. But he is a really good one, and he's close to me. He's probably 100 yards, standing still. He's a double beam – probably at least 8, maybe 10-inch bases on one side, double beam, not real wide, 16 inches, probably maybe 17 inches wide, but tall, massive. He's a I mean,
got your attention.
He's a Kansas buck.
What is, you know, you talked about, we talked about like the 145 and the 150. What is, in y'all's area, where you're hunting in Kansas, what do you consider, when does it go big buck? Like, is a 150-inch deer the floor of it, or is it 140?
Yeah, I mean,
or,
a 150 is a really nice buck.
Yeah.
Had we not known those other bucks, there's three other bucks in there, you know, that mm-hmm. 190-plus or 180-plus, and another one about a 160-something. So they're in there around that feeder
had you
and
been
that stand.
By the
so,
way, had you been seeing them throughout, you know, preseason?
Absolutely, the whole time.
You had, okay, and, they didn't just show up. They
no,
weren't
and
new.
That,
okay.
That big one, we got pictures of him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was injured last year. We didn't know if he was going to make it or not. I mean, you could see a hole in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he was limping last year. And we was thinking, boy, it'd be nice if he comes back, but he's probably going to die. You know, mm-hmm. he's injured pretty good. He's limping pretty good. But
it's amazing what they can
do. And he came back. He came back to that spot. We actually had a picture of him about a mile and a half away in what we call the Big River. And earlier in the season, we said, well, dadgum, he's moved and he's over there, you know. But 2 or 3 weeks later, he showed up in this same place he was last year.
Yeah, well, they'll cover that kind of ground back here. So I imagine in Kansas, nothing for a stepper.
Yeah,
to, you know.
Not a big deal at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, when you know there's a big deer there, you got pictures of them.
Sure. I was just trying to figure out, like, in that part, like, so, you know, just trying to get people acclimated to that.
Right.
Because you just talked about two incredible once-in-a-lifetime bucks.
That's right.
But 150-inch deer is worth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, if we just went hunting up there, didn't have pictures,
didn't have
videos or nothing.
Because 150-inch deer is a hell of a whitetail.
And that 150-inch deer came up, he would have whacked him.
So would I.
Yeah. Now, I may have held off knowing, thinking that there's some
and
bigger ones
some big,
around.
I've never killed 150-inch deer, so I'd be.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, about, you have about, you would hammer him in a second.
Yeah.
You know. I've been fortunate, I have, so I might have passed him a little bit, you know, to wait.
Because it's a special deer, I think, even out there, that makes 180, 190.
Absolutely.
It's not like, there's not like a, because people sometimes see the pictures from people and get an idea that there's 180 and 190 behind every tree, and it's
not.
No,
there's not. The thing is, they're out there, though.
They're out there, but they're not, okay. It's not like every buck becomes a 190-inch buck out there.
Yes. Well, we got two people hunting out there right now. Gun season came in Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a man and his son from Pensacola hunting out there right now. His son killed one Wednesday afternoon, opening day. We got him on video. I don't know what he scores yet because he hadn't sent it to me.
Right.
I've seen the pictures of him. We guesstimated him through the pictures at a 180. Now, I don't know yet. I'm waiting on him to send me a score on it.
Yeah, by the way, side note, I don't know if it'd be possible, but you talk about AI and technology. If somebody could make an app and a program.
There you go, to score him.
That you take like four pictures, front, back, side, and plug it in there. It could calculate it. Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be. Hey, look, it will come.
Like you could just, I mean, it's great.
John,
like Mike's a certified scorer. You could take the tape and do it, but wouldn't it be neat to just like, here's the picture. Get the front, the back, the side, whatever it would need, whatever different angles it would need.
Four or five angles or whatever, yeah.
And it would have like a – some way it would have a known measurement on there, like from this to this is X. So we know that everything else works off of that.
Well, a lot of times you can go with their ear.
Right, but I'm saying for an
ear
exact
–
but some deer might have a little – you know, like if you had some kind of legend to a map in there, like this equals 10 inches, whatever it is. And then it from there it could go, you know, calculate the
You could be a millionaire, John.
And then I could get to hunt in Kansas.
There you go.
It'd be good.
You need to come up with that. That would be a that would.
I got
be
ideas.
Great.
I just don't know how to program, Mike. Yeah. That's the problem. I just need. So if you're the person out there that could do that, work with me, and we'll get this thing. I'm good at marketing.
Yeah.
I'm good at coming up with ideas. The tech stuff, maybe not as much there. But gun season, too, runs how long out there?
Gun season's 10 days.
Okay.
So it came in the 3rd. It's going to go out on the 13th.
And the reason that's post-rut.
That's post-rut. They are still chasing
that. Well,
that's
what I was wondering.
But, I mean, the majority of it is over with.
Even in the Midwest, where you do have a very concentrated rut, there is a bell curve to it.
Yeah, there is. There's
some that rut a little bit early and some that go a little bit late.
That's right. Absolutely. I know we just got back last Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what date that was, the 28th or whatever, 9th or whatever it was. And they were still chasing pretty heavy.
Okay.
So, just a few days later, gun season opens up. So I know they're still chasing some.
Cause, I mean, we have talked about that in the past, that these states, with the exception of Kentucky, that are like these perennial big buck states, they seem to all be archery or they're not shooting center fire rifles during the rut.
Yes. Yes.
There's something that lets a lot of deer live,
and
except for Kentucky.
I really like that because it gives the deer a chance. Now, had gun season been on, Dylan would kill that deer.
Yeah,
either the first time he saw him or the second time he saw him.
And 2,500, 3,000 other people in the state would have had the same situation and dropped
him. That's exactly right.
All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have y'all along. And by the way, too, I got to see some video there during the break.
Yeah.
Ooh, son. All right.
It's so much fun.
That thing is, my gosh, the bone on that deer.
Yeah, it's a big deer. You know, he's about 100 yards from me, and I got good video of him. He's standing there staring at me. And
he turned. He gives Mike different looks.
Yep.
He's he gets
he's
different
probably
sides.
8-inch. Maybe 10-inch on his right beam, probably 7 on his left beam, and he's got a double beam on his right side. He's not very wide. He's only about 17 inches wide.
Doesn't matter.
But he's a
it makes
he's
no
tall.
Difference.
Oh, I don't know what he would score. I mean,
a lot.
I'm gonna say a 170 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
maybe 80.
Lot.
I don't know what
a
he
lot.
Is. He's a lot. Yeah,
that's something.
Yeah.
We're talking about this during the break, too. You talked about, what was it called? Y'all were using nose jammer?
Nose jammer.
Now, what is this?
Okay. This is something that our buddy, Mike Eubanks, told me about, that he had a friend of his that he'd been using, too, in Kansas. And I assume it works everywhere, okay? But I know for a fact it works in Kansas, okay?
Okay.
So, anyway, that a friend of his, last day of hunting, and he had this monster deer coming in. It was a 180 or something, and he wanted to hunt it. That was the only deer he wanted to kill,
mm-hmm.
and the wind was wrong, and he loaded down with nose jammer and went and hunted that
but
deer.
But what is it?
It's a spray can. It's a spray. You spray all over you from head to toe.
Okay.
Spray everywhere, and then about every 2 hours, while you're in the stand, you reapply it. You apply it on the stand, apply it on you. Just every couple of hours, reapply it. Anyway, that deer came downwind, came up to the feeder or wherever he was hunting, and he killed that deer. It was a 180 or what? I mean, it was a monster deer. So last year we tried it. I hunted. Dylan hunted. We never got blown. And when I really realized this stuff really must be working. Dylan was hunting a field last year in Kansas, and he had 20 to 30 deer straight downwind from him in a field, and none of them ever stuck their head up, looked at him, never blew, never anything until he got down out of stand and had to walk across the field, and they ran. So I'm saying, well, this stuff must really work.
Is it? And I wonder on the scent side, too, because I know, generally those deer aren't as spooky as our deer. Very few deer are spooky as like a deer in Washington County.
Right.
But they're going to blow at you. I mean, they still smell, right? I mean, they're still going.
It jams their nose.
No, I'm saying, but like if you didn't use that.
Yes. For sure. If he wasn't using that, there's no way.
Because I'm just saying, I just know they're not as spooky.
But the wind blowing straight out to them in a field, and there's 20 or 30 of them out there, you know one's going to smell you.
Okay.
Okay, so this year, of course, there again, I didn't get a tag, didn't get a hunt. Dylan did, and he hunted all day, every day. He was very diligent. I mean, he did really good. And there was a couple times he wanted to go hunt that stand where that big deer was that the wind was totally wrong, blowing straight into the corn pile. And he said, that's where I want to go. That's where the big one's at. I want to hunt. And we're knowing that this nose jammer been working pretty good. Well, he goes in there, and during the day, he hunted all day, every day. I'm telling you, I was proud of him. There was 20 to 30 deer every day came into that pile and never lifted a head up, never looked at him, nothing. Never blew, nothing. And the other days he was hunting, he had deer walk completely all the way around him. They never blew, never smelt him. I'm telling you, that's a game changer. When you can go hunt a field that it don't matter which way the wind's blowing, you go hunt it because you can spray this stuff on you and it blocks their senses or whatever it does to them.
You spray on your boots, your pants.
Everything. Okay. You spray it head to toe. And then refreshing it every couple of hours. That's a key part of it. Okay. You refreshing it every
couple
hours.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. I was going to say something. What was I going to tell you?
Well, so he stays on the stand all those days.
Yeah, stays on the stand all those days. I was going to tell you something. Oh, they also say that if you shoot a deer and you wound it and you go looking for him and you've got this nose jammer on your boots and everything closed, and you're going through the woods and you're looking for him, and you try to come back, can't find him, you get a dog, go try to find him. Dog can't find him because it blocks the dog's nose. It can't smell the blood.
It blocks it just because it's on you?
Just because it gets in the woods and gets on the ground, and where you're going and trying to look for a deer, it blocks his nose. He can't smell. And that's what they say.
Huh.
Now, I don't know that's a fact because I haven't seen that, but that's what they tell me.
We need to talk to them.
Just different people I've talked to.
Okay.
That's what they say. So I don't know if that's a fact or not, but if you killed a big deer and you can't see him and you think maybe you might have wounded him and, you know, he might take a little while to die, you might want to let him sit there before you go look. Because if you need to get a dog in there, it may mess the dog's nose up.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and
now I'm going to have to test it here with very worried Alabama deer.
Now, see, I can't tell you about Alabama's a different breed of deer.
You're dang right there.
They're a different breed of deer. I haven't tried it here in Alabama. I need somebody to go test it. Mm-hmm. Sean Sullivan.
I got plenty of nervous deer.
Yeah, and go check it out and see. The other thing I was going to tell you, you got to be persistent on what you're doing, especially with this nose jammer stuff. You go hunt a stand, it don't matter up there. It don't matter which way the wind's blowing, you go hunt it. Well, Dylan hunted that big deer 5 days in a row, every day, all day long. Got that shot at that monster on the fifth day. So we thought he hit it. We couldn't find his air, and the deer limped off, and there's a story about that. But anyway, he didn't hit the deer. And so we got the farmers and all, there's about six of us walking all through the woods trying to find him. We couldn't find him, okay? So we came back, and I got to thinking. I said, I got to look one more time for that arrow. I found the arrow. We didn't hit the deer. So the next day, we got this other deer coming on camera. It's the one that I told you about that the boy killed this past Wednesday. He's a good one. He's a 170, 180 or somewhere. And he was coming out in daylight, and Dylan said, well, I want to go over there and hunt that. We've kind of sunk these woods up here. I said, well, I agree with you. Go over there and hunt that. So he went over and hunted that deer. While he was over there hunting that deer, what happens? That monster comes out at 1 o'clock in the middle of the day.
Back to the stand he was at?
To the feeder, wide open, broadside, stayed there 30, 45 minutes. Perfect shot, everything, okay? So let's fast forward a little more. He goes back over there hunting him for a couple of days. And, our trip's getting shorter and shorter.
Okay? You're out there for a while, but
we're getting you know, we got
time to come
two or three days left, and we got to come on back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't see anything. The deer didn't come out. So there's this real pretty 10-point coming out close to the camp house. He's a 160 or so, and he's coming out every day, you know, 2 days in a row, twice one day. Dylan says, I think I'm just going to go try to kill that deer. I said, okay, go do it.
Yeah, put in my time in this stand.
So he goes over and hunts that stand. That deer don't come out. But what happens? That monster comes back out in the stand in the middle of the day again.
So it was every 3 days or so.
So what the moral of this story, and the reason I'm telling everybody this story, is with this nose jammer, it's a game changer, okay? If there's a big deer coming out and you got the stamina to stay in that stand all day, you stay there. You don't leave that stand. If you're there for a week and that's your target deer, you don't leave that stand. If you're there for 2 weeks, you go there every day, all day long. Don't leave that stand. Sooner or later, most of the time, that deer is going to come out. So stay.
And you stay.
Don't give up.
Because the wind doesn't matter.
The wind
makes no... I'm going to test it here because, they don't know this, but you know this. I'm obsessive about wind.
We all are.
Like, I am... Like, even if other people are hunting with me and say, I want to go hunt such and such stand, I go, no.
That's right.
Don't go hunt it. It's the wrong wind.
That's
please
right.
don't. I've, please don't go hunt it.
We've always been that way. And
please don't go hunt that stand. It's the wrong wind. Please
and there's
do not
a reason we don't, because a deer smell you and you'll mess up the stand.
I mean, it isn't about camo for me. It isn't about it is about wind direction. I am obsessive about that.
All I can tell you, I don't know it works in Alabama, because I have not tried in Alabama, but I have tried it in Kansas. It's 100% in my mind that it works. We have proved it to ourselves that it works. You need to try it in Alabama. I hope 100 people try it from listening to this show and write reviews about it and let me know if it works or not. And I want you to, because I'm not hunting deer in Alabama anymore, so I don't have a place to go and test it out.
No,
I would.
I got a place. Come on.
So you test it out.
I got to go somewhere not around the house. The ones around the house are just used to my smell, so they don't care.
Yeah.
They'll be downwind and, say, okay. It's just he's gone to the barn or something like that. But I got areas where I can go, and we'll try it. Because it truly, you might say, hey, that deer's in there, but we're not hunting him right now because the wind's wrong.
That's right.
We got to turn around. We got to have a west, or we got to have something,
That's right. So I hope this helps everybody. That's the only reason I wanted to do this this second segment, was to tell everybody, if you're using this, especially if you're going out in the Midwest, I know it works out there, use it. Don't give up on the stand. If you got a big deer coming in, you go there. You stay all day long, especially in the rut. You stay there all day long. Sooner or later, that deer normally will come out. You just got to be there, and by using this nose jammer, the wind makes no difference. You go there every day, no matter what the wind is blowing.
Okay. Okay, so you get that stuff. I found it online while we've been sitting here. So, you could just go buy it there, I guess.
I think we went through about four cans while we was out there. It's like $15 a can, but it's worth it. I'd pay $50
a can.
I'll
tell you what I need to do right now. See if they... need investors right now. If it works and you have to reapply it all the time, there's going to be people be carrying coolers of it out there. I like where the money is on this. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad you're here. You can always check us out, too, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I guess I'll say this, too. So it's going to be it's going to be 60 seconds. So two 30-second commercials are not going to be running in this show. And those times are open if you're looking to advertise in this show.
I'll tell them in a second, but we rarely have
this show stays pretty much full, but we have a chance for somebody to get in now, because and our friends up at Castleberry at Simmons Farm called this last week and have stopped their advertising for this year. That's, you know, pull up. They got their corn there,
that's
the clean
bad.
Corn. Yeah. Well, I'll say good on them. It's not great on, you know, I'm in the business of selling advertising, but they have pulled till next year when they'll start back up because y'all, they sold every bit of corn they had. They called us to say.
Them hunters, they're bad.
So good on y'all. I mean, yeah, advertising works that way. But, yeah, they called up and said, well, and I mean, we're in the beginning of December here.
Yeah.
They said, we're not advertising anymore. We said, why? They said, because we don't. And they grow their own corn and do all this stuff. And they said, because we don't have any corn left.
Isn't that amazing?
There you go. That's so for once, there's a, I guess there was two. So it'd be 60 seconds total, two 30-second spots open in the show.
Yeah.
Call here, the 344-1065 sales department. Talk to them here on Monday and get that. But, yeah, so that's
a good success story from advertising.
It is. It
very
is.
Successful.
They called and said, we're pulling our advertising. I said, oh, what? What? Well, we're out of corn. So.
Yeah. We'll let them slide on that.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, I got to ask you a couple things here before we get into just self-serving. Do you see any ducks?
Yes, I did see some ducks, but not like I did last year.
So they pushed down some. I was in Mississippi last weekend.
Yeah.
And had some ducks in there, good number of geese, not tons of geese, but we had some ducks. And it's funny, actually, I saw more mallards than I did. I thought I'd just see teal and shufflers and all that kind of stuff this time of year. Really, mostly mallards that we saw, but it was the big push hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that area too is pretty interesting because it's far enough, we're far enough north in the Delta. Those guys haven't, and it was such a dry year, those guys haven't had water on the fields for very long. So those ducks that pushed before they went flew right over that area of the Delta, because there wasn't water.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for those ducks from, you know, that are up in Missouri, and they kind of pushed most into Missouri now. There's a big bunch around St. Louis. We're hoping for those ducks. Now we got some rain up there too. Pumped water is good, but rainwater on top of that is a lot better.
Well, we've actually got a couple cameras out on a couple ponds.
Yeah.
And
how's your success been with that? Because I use that in wood duck holes, and it's okay. But I don't know if they're not big enough to trigger it, or I mean, I do get pictures from a game camera on a wood duck hole, but it's not like what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it's the same way.
Yeah,
I mean, we got pictures. I show them to you in the break. But it's not what we thought it was going to be. You know, we thought it was going to be better than that.
Like, and it's not like the holes I've used it before. What I'm saying is, it's not that the ducks aren't there. The ducks are there. I'm just not getting. They're not triggering the camera as much as I thought.
Unless they get up to fly
that
or something like that. Yes.
Yep. One comes in and splashes. Those are the scenes usually I get a picture of. But the rest of the time when they're just cruising around, I don't.
That's right. You don't get pictures of them. Yeah. So that's the same way.
Another invention, a duck camera, a cellular camera. We're going to get into cellular cameras here in a second. But the one that changed the way I'm sure they have the game cameras set so they don't get a picture of every dang thing.
Butterfly coming by.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you could tweak them somehow, like this one's the waterfowl edition.
Yes.
That's all you got to get. You charge more money.
Any kind of shape that looks like a duck, should go off.
At duck hunters, we pay more than we should for anything. So just call it the waterfowl edition.
Yeah.
You know, put like a duck logo on it and stuff and charge more for it. But yeah, tune it in for that. Because over the last, 10 years or so, but you know how I am with game cameras. I was like, hey, we're going to put them on duck holes to see. Instead of walking down there and busting wood ducks out of a hole, let's just leave them be to see, because I don't like to shoot till you have enough ducks, right?
Sure,
So I said, this can be the way.
Yeah.
Put the camera in there, and I've got a wide angle of the whole pond where they land and swim around and all this. You pull the thing, and you get the camera, comes in, I got three pictures this week.
Yeah.
You happen to have to drive by there, and 35 ducks get out of there. You're like,
what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah.
So
that's the same way with us. But, I mean, we even got some night pictures, you know, where you see the ducks in there.
I guess I got night pictures too.
Yeah.
But I just didn't get it. The pictures we got were not, and I don't even run them anymore like that, because the pictures we got were not even with the number of ducks in there.
But now things have changed in the Midwest since I've been gone. I've been gone a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Now there's been some single digit days up there, 7 degrees. 10 degrees.
I don't want to hear it because I'm here. Yeah. I'm not. It would be so, next weekend I go to Mississippi. Yeah.
But one of the ponds froze up that we had the cameras on, you know, so it's been cold up there. So that's going to change. I'm sure that that front that came through and it got it down to single digits up there, I'm sure that's pushing some more ducks.
It'll push
there.
A good bit of them. Yeah. But, you know, they're amazing. I told you, like, it's been so long since, and I never deer hunted out in Kansas, but I used to bird hunt out there. And quail and pheasants, but we'd also duck hunt. And when that would happen, what they call a river, y'all. I remember telling a story, a guy said, listen, y'all, I got to go. Because what we do is we go hunt 2 or 3 days on our own, and we go with a guide when we could afford it. We just didn't have many dollars between us, my buddy and I. So we go, like, on our own, and then we'd hunt with a guide. Then we'd go on our own a couple of days and then hunt with him again, you know, like 2 days out of seven.
Right.
And he met us. He said, I know you boys like to hunt ducks. And I said, yeah, yes, sir. And he said, we go on down here. He said, I'm getting ready to pick up my hunters for a bird hunt today. You know, and he said, I want y'all to go shoot. I got a spot to shoot ducks. He said, y'all go down this, you know, cross this fence here, go down, you know, cattle lane here, and you're going to have to cross the river. Once you cross the river, there's a like a warm water slough off the river. It was real cold. And he said, you got to cross the river before you get to where the slough is.
Yeah, river. What kind of river are we talking about?
Right. So we're thinking, crap. I think we did have waders because we took everything there. But we're like, how are we going to get across a river? But he said, y'all be able to get across there. We're thinking, you know, the old slow walking with the water right at the top of your waders. So we're walking in there and we walk across this ditch and then we keep walking. I'm like, that sure looks like that slough. And he said, no, we got to cross the river before we get to the slough. We walk out, we're out in the middle of cattle pasture. I'm like, that was the river?
That's the river.
I think it's the one. I think that was the Little Blue or the Republican out there, but it was like you'd cross it in a pair of burleys.
Yeah.
You know, just a pair of knee boots.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we laughed about that back at breakfast with him. I said, no, we got to cross a river before we get to the – well, that was a river out there.
Yeah, but it's flowing water. Different. Rivers are different out there, for
sure.
Yeah,
the flowing water kept them open. Yeah, the ducks stayed in there. Yeah, camera-wise, too, I mentioned this, and we'll talk about this. I guess we can more as we get closer to Christmas. But, I mean, people are doing their Christmas shopping now. I'll just say this. We can go – there are some – I think what used to be – only a couple people making cameras at a certain level.
Yeah.
Now, everything's come up.
Absolutely.
You can almost get, not every case, but almost get any of the cameras available out there, and they're pretty close to each other and being good.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right about that.
And on the single-take cameras, the non-network cameras out there, there's so many of them that are good. And yeah. I've said in the past that we talked about it. Gosh, we've been talking about this for years on this show. And when I say I use spy points for single application, that's because that was the original one that was doing good. There's a whole bunch of cameras. People talk about all these others. I'm sure they're as good as spy point.
Yeah, I'm sure. I use Browning.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I do, we sell Browning safes, and I'm able to get a deal on Browning. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and look, they're great.
I think they've all come up.
Yeah.
So the thing I'll just say is the difference here, and I've talked about this over the years, is what you want for a camera. If you hunt one block of property versus you got a 60 here, a 200 over there, down the road you got 500, you know.
Yes.
I'm talking about you're all on, we got one this spot. 300 acres, and this is our spot.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I don't know who else is doing it. So Cuddy Link, you know, I use Cuddy Back Camera, and I use others, but for my main, I use Cuddy Link, and it does it because it daisy chains through Bluetooth all my cameras together. So I pay one bill a month.
Yes.
The spy points that I'll use, like on some other property we have, hunt on the river and some different places, I'll have a sink. But at the house, it's all networked into one because I only pay for one.
Where me, I pay $14.95 for the first camera and then $9.99 on the other, and I've got 20 cameras.
Right. So it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, $200 a month.
And I think I'm paying... Well, I got to go check. But I think I pay like under $20 a month, and I can have up to 24 cameras.
So, I mean, that's...
But they all have to be able to see the next camera.
Yes.
And people have always said, well, how far, you know, do they connect? Yes, no, is my answer to it. I mean, it'll tell you, you know, a quarter mile to... Well, on a power line, elevation to elevation, it'll surprise you. They can connect pretty good.
Yeah.
You got one in the bottom and one on the other side of a ridge down another bottom. They may not be but 300 yards away, and they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how the signal – so to say, you know, to say I'm going to lay out my land and say every, you know, 500 yards I could have one, it just depends on your land.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
And it does, and But if you're on one piece like that, it's really a good system.
I think absolutely. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you do that every year, and as long as you, I mean,
I run them, and I run them 12 months a year. Yeah. Mine are constantly out.
I only do mine for like 4 months a year.
Right.
So, I mean, that's
I run cameras 24.
That's $800, and you're doing it for $20. Yeah. So you're what?
280
or yeah. whatever it is, which is way cheaper mm-hmm. than what I'm doing. And so you're doing it all year.
Yeah, so I mean, just something
so
to think about.
So that's something you got to think about when you're going to buy cameras. You know, are you putting it on one piece of property?
Right.
You know, or are you putting it on, like you're talking about, a 40 that's, a mile that's, yeah. down the road and a 60 another mile down the road or whatever?
Yep.
And that wouldn't work where I'm hunting at yep. because, I mean, we got 10,000 acres and it's
spread
you
out.
Know, some
right.
of them
so that's
are
just something to think
15 in. Miles away.
But if you're thinking about buying for yourself or asking for a gift from Santa yeah. and you do hunt one block, that's where you hunt.
Yes.
Then one of those cutting link systems good. If not, I said Spot Point, but Brown, and I think they're all probably just
I
as good
so.
As the other ones out there. Yeah. All right, coming right back. Every time we go to break, I just see pictures, more and more pictures of big bucks. I like
yeah.
this. Going to break more often. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. There are a couple other things in the mix right now. You know, duck season back open today. You know, you had the little split there. The early, it opens right there at Thanksgiving, closes for that week, and opens back up. So it is open back up. I heard, you know, some people killed some ducks. Other than that, it was pretty tough. And our conversation we had last week with Seth Maddox was saying that, you know, the flyovers they did down here 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, were pretty tough. Numbers look pretty decent in North Alabama. Just keep fingers crossed for those coming down. I did a little scouting during the week, which is, I'll give my secret. You know, I go out with Tom Claxton and the Scuttlebutt Network. I go do a show from the battleship
right.
a few times a year. This one is usually about this week in December every year. I do an hour, and then they take the second hour of Midday Mobile. I spend that second hour with my binoculars on the battleship glassing ducks.
That's Sean Sullivan, that's for sure. Only Sean Sullivan. What are you doing up here, Sean? You looking for enemies out there? You think they're going to come blow this ship
that's
up?
That's right.
What you doing?
The only redneck in media.
Yeah.
Like, the talk show host is out with his binoculars. Yeah, he's looking for ducks.
Yeah.
It didn't look great. I didn't see a lot of coots. But, of course, I didn't go ride. I didn't go look. I just was glassing from there. So hopefully that gets better. Love to hear, you know, those numbers coming up.
Well, hopefully the colder weather, these fronts mm-hmm. start coming through, getting colder.
Yep.
And maybe to run some down here, I hope.
What's also cool is I've gotten rain now finally on, you know, the last set of patches I planted that just sat there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sat there. And I wait late because of that. But usually by November, you know, we usually really try to start after Halloween getting stuff in the next week or two after that. Because I don't plant real early because October is dry.
You know,
people are like, you know, I don't ever get caught by that because I just don't start till late because of that. Well, this year, November turned out to act like October. So finally, yeah. I got some of my stuff. So whatever's left seed and fertilizer-wise is coming up and doing good.
The stuff I planted, washed away.
Yeah, the stuff I did on the first, and it had taken some. We had a little rain on it, but it really, you know, starting to come on. You know, I'm just now, about half my patches are just now. But people always ask about throw and mow.
Yeah.
My throw-mow patches are, you couldn't put another dang doe and yearling in them. And bucks, too.
So but it's doing better than your disc feels?
Yeah, yeah, they did. But they also got planted before we got, and I'm trying to think back, the one rain we got.
Right.
And I don't know if that was before Halloween or right after, somewhere in there.
Right.
And they caught that rain. But, yeah, and everything else is coming up decent now. The acorns that I had been seeing, I don't see so much anymore. And it was early, and somebody suggested, who was it on us, talked about it? Maybe Jay, or somebody had a good point that maybe, because we had an early, I don't have a bunch of acorns where we are. I mean, mostly pine woods. But they were falling really early this year. They said it might have been because of the drought.
I think so.
And so I'm kind of done now. I mean, it's not there's none, but it definitely changed.
And they're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
They're smaller, and they dropped earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that just about tells you it was the drought causing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So those are kind of played out. So, you know, browse and patches. Although, you know, the browse got burned back by that cold pop we had. I mean, out, You know, I mean, and I'm not talking about north. I live in West Mobile County, and it was 20, what was that, 3 weeks ago or whenever we had that, it was 25 out there or something like that. It was, yeah. I mean, so the Browns got burned back some. So it'll be, I think it'll be one of those years. I think they're going to be, you know, heavy, some years it's stay in the woods. Acorn crop is good. Browns is good. I think this one will be more of a patch year.
You know? Yeah. I mean, if you got some green, good green fields right now, yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean they're stacked in a moment.
But in the next couple of weeks, everybody should have some good green.
Right,
fields.
Like I said, the other ones are coming on now.
Right,
good. Like you said, if your seed and fertilizer didn't get washed away, you're good mode now.
That's right.
Yeah, we're getting all the rain at one time. I think Dr. Bill said November. It was like maybe not record, but close to record dry November.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
That was the driest. I could get equipment in places where. You shouldn't be able to get it in November.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that pretty much all around it was like that, too.
Yep, 100%. I do want to say this, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk with this man in the future, but the man who took over, this came out about a week ago, week and a half ago, taking over for Chuck Sykes. Chris Lewis is now head of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. He becomes the Alabama Department of Conservation, Natural Resources, Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries Director. Supervising the division's 315 employees. He's been away, but he's one of us. So Lewis was working, it said, 22 years with Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries here in Alabama, and then he got a job in Connecticut. Yeah, he went to, state of Connecticut. He served as the Director of Environmental Conservation Police Division. So been serving here, got a job opportunity to go up there. Worked that, and he says during his tenure in Connecticut, his division became an accredited law enforcement agency through the Connecticut Police Officer Standards and Training Accreditation Program, and he worked with senior leadership to add more positions to his staff. He's coming back here. He said, oh, yeah, this is fun. He said, comparing areas of enforcement, he said, Connecticut covers a little more than 5,540 square miles.
Yeah.
little state, Alabama, 10 times that out there. He's back at it. He's back in Alabama. So a new head of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. Like I said, he's been here before, but he's back. Chris Lewis. So hopefully we'll get him on the show with us. Want to hear what he's all about. See, how he sees the state and the fish in the game.
Well, if he's like Chuck Sykes, he'll be on the show regular.
Yep.
So we had him on anytime you called him, he would be on the show with us.
Speaking of and our friend Chuck, talking to him, I hadn't talked to him in a few weeks, but last time we talked, he said, because he knows what I like, he said, swamp chestnuts, the last of them are dropping. I got a ladder stand with your name on it, and couldn't make it, but it was, he and I had that in common. One of my favorite things to do in the woods of Alabama is to be on a swamp chestnut tree that's dropping, and he was hunting them, so.
Every deer in that part of the woods is going to be there. If you just got one tree, that's where you want to be. Now, if you got 20 or 30 trees, and that's hard to hunt them like that. But if you got one or two trees, you get at one of them, that's a special place to hunt.
It is for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all check us out. Send some pictures over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Make sure to put the outdoors on there. Make sure you're on the right Facebook page. We'll do it again next week. Y'all have a great one.